South Africa's government is scrambling after a raid on the house of National Assembly Speaker Nosiviwe Mapisa-Nqakula just a few days ago. She stands accused of accepting a bribe to the value of 2.3 million rand from a supplier while she was the Minister of Defense and Military Veterans. Bribes involving service providers and entrepreneurship about your defense force, your military. And what if I told you this isn't even the first accusation of her accepting a bribe that she allegedly did receive while she was the Minister of Defense? We're going to talk about it. It's flipped Parliament upside down. And I also need to tell you such a wild story. I know this is the show where South Africa is a movie. Welcome, this is the watch party. But like, no Hollywood scripting team could have come up with this. And I know we say that often about South Africa. There's the Thabo Bester story. There's Matthew Lani all the time. Thembisa 10, all the people. Like, there are always stories where we go, nah, there's no way. There's no way anybody could have come up with that. Only South Africa in real life could have come up with that. This is another one of those stories, because one of South Africa's most prominent and influential and consequential whistleblowers lost his job and is on trial for stealing an air fryer. He was taken out of his position in one of the most powerful parts of our security sector for allegedly stealing an air fryer from a Checkers when it was on special. And he claims that the whole thing was stitched up by enemies that he has in the security cluster to get rid of him. I'm going to tell you that story too. This is The Issue with Dan Korda, because we all know that South Africa is a movie. Welcome to the watch party. South Africa is wild and overwhelming, and on this show we explain, analyze, and understand the biggest news stories and issues facing this country every single week. Two episodes of The Issue come out every single week on podcast and also in video form on YouTube, and we also release weekly exclusive episodes of interviews and analysis on Patreon. Go find us there. Lastly, if you're new here and enjoy the episode, it would be so wonderful if you clicked subscribe or follow. It makes a huge difference as we develop the show going forward. Right, let's get into it. Let's start off with Nosiviwe Mapisa-Nqakula. She's an ANC stalwart who has been a big deal in our politics for a very long time. As I said, she was Minister of Defense and Military Veterans for many years. In 2021, President Ramaphosa made her the Speaker of the National Assembly, which is an incredibly important, influential position. The Speaker of the National Assembly has huge sway over how things are spoken about and debated, what gets said and what doesn't, and the order and management of our National Assembly, of our elected representatives. And Nosiviwe Mapisa-Nqakula has been in that position for a few years now. And then, just a few days ago, she was accused of soliciting a bribe from a company called Umkhombe Marine. This company is responsible for transporting our National Defense Forces cargo during military missions. Like, kind of important. It's literally a military contractor for the SANDF. She's been accused of taking a bribe to then influence whoever got that contract. And that's why just a few days ago, the ID, the investigative directorate, on behalf of the NPA, raided her house. Now, Mapisa-Nqakula insists that she's got nothing to hide and that she was very happy to have the raid happen. And yet, she also didn't rock up for work just a day or two ago. She just decided not to bother to rock up to be National Assembly Speaker for pretty much the last time under this presidency before the election. She had an ANC rank-and-file member called Somebody Frolic kind of stand in for her. Frolic didn't say why she wasn't there, didn't even really say that she wasn't there, just kind of started. I don't know about you, but to me that sounds like Nosiviwe did not want to chat. She did not want to answer questions. Maybe she does. Maybe she doesn't have something to hide. Maybe she definitely has something she doesn't want to talk about. And the opposition went in on President Ramaphosa saying, you said you were supposed to be the clean president, and you said that you were the one who was going to only have people of impeccable reputation, free from corruption allegations and free from legal turmoil in positions of power. And now this has happened on your watch. And Ramaphosa was actually there talking about his new version of the lifestyle order that's supposed to make sure that politicians are behaving in ethical and legal ways. And they're like, how could you stand before us and not even explain the Mapisa-Nqakula situation or defend it? And then Frolic, as well as other members of the ANC, kicked into gear and made sure to defend Ramaphosa and made sure that he did not have to answer any questions about Mapisa-Nqakula. They used technical points about what the session was really supposed to be about. Essentially, John Steenhuisen raged in a question about the lifestyle audit And then in question two, the follow-up question, he then tried to rage about Mapisa Makula and he was shut down on a technical order. And he was shut down because technically you're not allowed to just start talking about something else when you're sitting in the National Assembly, when you're grilling someone, or when you're part of some kind of discussion procedure. You're supposed to stick to the topic at hand. So in the end, the president didn't need to answer any of those questions in Parliament. But it really doesn't look good. And remember, the ANC has tried to insist that they're on this renewal project, and they've got this ethics committee that's supposed to investigate and vet all of the different ANC members who might get positions of power. And they were supposed to have this kind of recuse yourself position where if any ANC member was under the scrutiny of a serious and credible allegation of corruption or crime, that they would stand down or step aside or whatever words they chose to do. And they've done none of those things. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the story with the ANC party lists about who they'll put in parliament if they get X number of votes. But the ANC's ethics committee, shame, what a redundant group of people. They ruled out a lot of people from being on those lists on the exact grounds of credible allegations of criminality, and they were just ignored, and those powerful people were put on the ANC lists anyway. So very much business as usual ANC then. But I need you to understand the person that Nosiviwe Mapisa Ngakula is, because this is not her first rodeo. In fact, the scale of her alleged corruption is pretty phenomenal. As in, it's a phenomenon. I'm not congratulating her or affirming her or, you know, praising her. But in a way, I am praising the audacity of it. Just the insanity of what Nosiviwe Mapisa Ngakula has been up to. So let me just try and fill you in. This is not the first allegation of Nosiviwe peddling a bribe. In fact, when she was made National Assembly Speaker in 2021, she was under investigation even then for a different bribe of 5 million rand that she was alleged to have peddled for herself also while she was Minister of Defense and Military Veterans. And that's not all. Besides that 5 million rand bribe, she's been accused of spending away 7 million rand of government money on private lekker funge all-time flights around the world and luxury hotel stays in like Paris and New York for no clear reason of how that would help her being a better Minister of Defense. Nosiviwe is truly the Kate Middleton of modern South Africa. She knows how to disappear for a while, a treat yourself time, on somebody else's cash. Like, I don't know if Kate Middleton should have just called Nosiviwe for some good advice on how to do whatever she's doing now. And to be clear, I hope that she's just taking some quiet time for herself. I really hope that she's okay because it is not looking good at the moment. But here are some of the specifics of this 7 million rand jaw around the world. Allegedly, she's taken lekker jaw flights on South African Air Force planes to Egypt from Waterkloof Air Force Base. She's also gone jawling to Togo, Ghana, Angola, and Guinea. She also stayed in New York at a luxury hotel on Central Park, one of the most expensive pieces of land in the world. This hotel was a solo five-stay jaw at the JW Marriott Essex House, which cost almost 400,000 rand the stay in 5 days. And later that year, this was in 2019, later that year, she stayed at a hotel which is attached to or a part of the iconic Arc de Triomphe in Paris. In the 50 square meter deluxe king suite at this hotel, and her bill, together with that of three departmental attachés, ran to more than 200,000 rand, plus an Avis transport bill of 150,000. So like Avis, like hire cars, 150 grand for hire cars. You only need like 10 grand to get a, or maybe 15 grand, I don't even know, to have a one-way ticket from South Africa to Paris. And even more than that, because as a part of these allegations, there are screenshots of emails and WhatsApp messages referring to all of this criminality that seems to have gone on. A lot of the time she was talking about wigs. So people don't know that if this is a special code word for something else, but it seemed like a lot of the 5 million rand, a lot of her demands in this bribe were about luxury wigs. As best as we can tell. Now, I have never bought a wig. I don't know about the currency and the trade of wig purchases. And I do know that wigs can get very expensive. But 5 million? You could probably get a full head of Beyonce's hair for five. No, okay. Okay, even I know you couldn't get Beyonce's hair for that. It'd probably be more expensive if she even did it. But like, that is expensive. has human hair. The most incredible wig I've ever seen is Moonchild Zanelli's, and that is an absolute masterpiece. But even that, I'm like, Moonchild, what an amazing wig, but wow, girl, like, that's not 5 million, there's no way. But to truly understand the madness of Nosiviwe Mampisa Nqakula, I need to take you back to where she, and this is true, smuggled the girlfriend of her now late son into South Africa on a chartered Air Force plane. I'm going to say that again. Smuggled a woman, forget Home Affairs, ignore that, smuggled her son's girlfriend into South Africa on an Air Force plane. It is like, I have to laugh. Like, you just have to laugh. Like, there's nothing else to do. You have to laugh. So here's the story. And it depends who you ask, obviously. Basically, a young woman from Burundi called Michelle, she was arrested in the Democratic Republic of Congo in Kinshasa at the airport for trying to get on to a plane, a commercial passenger airline, I think it was an SAA airline, bound for South Africa. She was arrested for trying to get on the plane using a false passport. So she was detained. And Nosiviwe thought, no worries, I'll just go pick her up. So she chartered a plane to Kinshasa. They picked up Michelle and brought her to South Africa. Michelle was allegedly dating Mapisa Nqakula's now late son. And according to sources at the time, they were intending to get married. Screw Home Affairs. Screw South Africa's laws about borders and people coming in and out of the country. Screw what an Air Force plane is supposed to be used for. Screw what is supposed to be Ministry of Defense business. Screw it all. This is what Nosiviwe decided to do. And she said she would do it again. She was happy and proud of it. She thought it was lekker. Apparently, her sister's children were friends with this young woman from Burundi called Michelle. And allegedly, although they claim that Michelle's father was being abusive to her, so they were like rescuing her. But Michelle's father then came out a week later and said this was all a smear after a business relationship, a long-standing engagement between him and the Mapisa sisters went sour. And so they kind of just, you know, took his daughter away from him. Listen, I'm not saying that they kidnapped her. They obviously didn't kidnap her. But this is how they responded to that business mess. And it's just crazy that after all of this, like Nosiviwe has been up to her Nosiviwe shenanigans for 10 years, still cruising, still riding high, still living her life, finished her Ministry of Defense stuff, no worries, ended up being Speaker of our National Assembly. It's just beyond belief. Actually, no. What is beyond belief is this story I'm going to tell you about now. This is truly such a wild story, and I'm kind of amazed that it's not got big headlines. I'm kind of amazed that it hasn't become a massive story that the whole country is obsessing over, because we should be obsessing over this. So whistleblowers are very important all around the world, particularly in democracies and particularly in South Africa, because the point of a whistleblower is that they, in a moment from within an organization, usually see some dodgy dealings or some due processes being messed with or some evil, illegal stuff being committed, and they are brave enough, often in the face of real pressure and, as we know in South Africa, in some cases, in the face of real active danger to themselves, if they report, they are brave enough to go and report what is going on to auditing or regulatory authorities. Now, one of the most significant, and I guess now you could say high-profile whistleblowers in South Africa, is a guy called Brigadier Dennis Chilli. He's in the security forces. In fact, he's in one of the big scary ones, which is crime intelligence. Now, crime intelligence, their job is to work in secret, in the dark, for the national interest. Their job is to be spies fighting against great evil, great danger, great illegality for the good of the people. But that obviously, I'm sure you can already imagine, means a lot of it is off the record and off the books, their work, and discretionary too, which means that if the wrong people get into crime intelligence, they can start doing very bad things within their secret, clandestine, off the record powers in the dark that crime intelligence is afforded. They're mostly spies. And tons of allegations and evidence around state capture shows crime intelligence as the place which orchestrated and coordinated a lot of the machinations of the capturing of the state. I mean, these are literally the people who pretty much get carte blanche, no rules, to go and do what they need to do, right? And there's barely any reporting, barely any oversight. It happens in secret. Oh, and also they have a massive slush fund that is also just there to be used for whatever crime intelligence might need on a given day. So it's also a great place for corrupt people, corrupt cops, to get hella lekker bonuses. And, you know, just random blessings, financial blessings from that slush fund. So crime intelligence is a serious thing. It can also just be a very, very scary part of our security apparatus in South Africa. Brigadier Dennis Chilley is in crime intelligence, and he came to significance in 2017 when it was the ANC's National Elective Conference, the one that literally changed the course of South Africa, because Cyril Ramaphosa narrowly beat Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, and that led to Ramaphosa becoming president and his group, his team, the CR17 team, taking over the ANC and slowly but surely driving Zuma and his people out. And that has led to what Zuma is doing now and the mess that we're facing in the 2024 election with MK, and all of that came from that decisive elective conference in 2017. So we all know that a massive part of ANC elective conferences is money. It's different groups who are trying to get votes, essentially buying off votes from delegates, spending in vast amounts to try and get the allegiance and get the votes that they need to win. And Brigadier Chilley was crucial in scuppering a dubious 45 million rand procurement splurge that was intended to bankroll votes at the ANC's 2017 elective conference. That's according to an Independent Police Investigative Directorate, or IPID, probe. So that was where his whistleblowing really came to the fore and he became significant. 45 million rand from some or other kind of dodgy procurement that was then going to be used incorrectly to buy votes by someone of somebody else to help in their aims to win at the elective conference. That is massive. And you can very easily imagine Brigadier Chilley getting a lot of enemies from that. A lot of powerful enemies. But he didn't stop there. He's got a lot of powerful enemies because over the last handful of years, he's blown the whistle on a bunch of nonsense involving the current police minister, Becky Cele, and successive heads of crime intelligence, heads of the scary thing, the organization that can get away with anything and really needs to be in the hands of good people for us to safeguard South Africa. He's reported tons of concerns over dodgy processes and weird deals and not following the law to the Inspector General of Intelligence. And his literal last report was about the current head of crime intelligence, Dumisani Khumalo. That's literally what he's just been talking about most recently. Apparently, Khumalo, just before he was appointed, got security clearance to become crime intelligence chief in just a few days before he was appointed. But the vetting process to get security clearance takes months, months and months. So Brigadier Chilley reported this to the Inspector General. Now, you won't be surprised to hear that Dumisani Khumalo is said to be a close ally of Becky Cele. He's actually got apparently limited background in intelligence and yet was rushed into this role. So that's who Brigadier Chilley has been fighting with most recently. His boss, the head of crime intelligence, and close ally of Police Minister Becky Cele. So where does the air fryer come in? This is absolutely mental. What you need to know now is that Brigadier Chilley has been charged with stealing an air fryer, and those are the grounds upon which he has been dismissed by crime intelligence. He no longer works there. Now, if you are a labor lawyer or a lawyer or anybody with experience in unfair dismissal, you might be thinking to yourself, but he's not even been found guilty of this air fryer nonsense. But even if he was, are these grounds for dismissal from his position? Well, crime intelligence has decided that it is. And I'm sure you're thinking of a few reasons why that might be useful to the people as a head of crime intelligence. But listen to this air fryer story, because it's got us all twisted in knots. So according to all involved, Dennis Chilley went to Checkers a little while ago with some cash, around 800-900 rand in cash, to buy some groceries. And when he walked into Checkers, a Checkers in near Bedford View Police Station or somewhere around there in Johannesburg, he saw an air fryer on sale for only 800 rand. And he thought to himself, wow, I've seen a lot about these air fryers. There are whole influencers who've built their careers on TikTok and Instagram and Twitter off of selling that air fryers are the greatest thing ever invented, even better than sliced bread. It's the best evidence of God's existence, air fryers, because they can make all the food even more delicious than it usually is with none of the processes of making it very unhealthy, none of the oil or the butter or nothing. It's just air. You just fry. And so this was Brigadier Chilley's moment to finally get on in that action and get an air fryer. So apparently he decided to buy this air fryer. He went with his groceries and his air fryer to the cashier at the till. And he then thought to himself, okay, I've got this 800 rand. I want to get rid of my cash. You know that feeling you don't want to carry cash anymore. You intended to spend it. You want to spend it. So he was like, I'm going to spend this 800 rand to buy this air fryer. And then I will use my card. I'll swipe my card to buy all my groceries. Cool, cool, cool. He does that, according to him. And then he walks out or towards the exit of Checkers, where a security guard stops him to see a slip, which is a very normal thing. It happens at lots and lots of stores. The security guard looks at the slip and says, "So there's no air fryer on this slip. Why have you got an air fryer?" And he says, "Oh, only the groceries were on the slip." And he said to the security guard, "You know, what must have happened was I paid in two separate ways. Clearly, this was rung up. You know, this is the slip that was rung up for my groceries, which I paid for and swiped with a card. And then because I paid separately with cash, maybe the cashier put it on a different bill or it didn't come through the receipt or the receipt wasn't given to me or something. Let's go talk to the cashier. We'll sort this out." They go back to the cashier. To which the cashier says, "I don't know what you're talking about." The cashier says, no, sir, you, Brigadier Chili, you claimed to me that you had bought this air fryer at another store. This isn't one of our air fryers and you never paid for it." And Brigadier Chili said, "But I gave you my 800 rand. And she said, "No, you didn't." And so they were both detained. So now they're both detained, right? They're being held. Nobody knows what's going on. Brigadier Chili thinks the cashier tried to pocket his 800 and get away with it. The cashier is saying she doesn't even have the money. Brigadier Chili claims that she did have the money. They're all being detained. They get taken to Bedford View Police Station. Now, this is a serious dispute, but it's also ultimately in its worst form, petty theft. So tell me why Brigadier Chili claims now that sources have told him that the senior officials in crime intelligence, the spies fighting the spy wars, trying to keep the whole country safe. Well, I mean, that's what their job description is. That's what they're supposed to be doing. Then, according to sources, according to Brigadier Chili, took out of their busy days, having heard about this air fryer story, 800 rand only an air fryer story, and went themselves down to Bedford View Police Station to help oversee the investigation, help the cops, help them along their way with their serious experience. As though these cops don't know how to go through the most mundane and rudimentary task of dealing with a petty theft. As though this isn't an everyday thing that all cops know how to do and are used to doing. According to Dennis Chili, the senior officials went down and meddled at Bedford View Police Station, and the cashier was released, story believed. Chili was kept, story disbelieved, out of pocket. The cashier now nobody can find. The checkers can't provide security camera footage of that moment in that day at that cashier aisle. It just so happens that a Checkers, which is a real established supermarket chain where they all have video security camera footage, apparently that security camera footage is missing or wasn't being recorded or has been lost or corrupted or something, but there's no way to go check the tapes. Cashier has now disappeared, apparently. And so the cashier just released, now disappeared. No way to corroborate Chili's claims. He's just been out of hand disbelieved. The cashier was believed and is gone. Brigadier now on trial, charged with stealing this air fryer. And then crime intelligence fired him over this. Very convenient for the big, powerful people in crime intelligence and beyond, for whom Brigadier Chili had been a thorn in their side for literally years. And it's such a crazy story because I'm really trying to imagine what happened here. It's actually very hard to tell. You want to believe Brigadier Chili. I know you do. He's been making a name for himself, sticking it to powerful people and being a whistleblower. And that's good. And we like that. That's important. But how did this happen? How did this happen in this Checkers with this air fryer? He's saying that from the moment that he was arrested, it was a stitch up. But that's an extraordinary moment of opportunism from crime intelligence to get rid of him. If they discovered, they'd heard that there was a confusion with an air fryer and they're like, let's get down there, stitching up and get rid of him once and for all. Right? Like if they were really, truly the senior officials trying to get rid of him, wasn't there another way which they were in control of that they could have started off from the beginning? Like, I refuse to believe that they somehow knew that Brigadier Chili loved air fryers and didn't have one and was looking for one and had exactly 800 rand on his person and, in cash, and was going to go to the Checkers on this day, and that Checkers would have exactly that 800 rand special, and they could place a cashier, and then they could place a security guard, and then they could get rid of the security camera footage. Like, that seems so unlikely. So were they just sitting around twiddling thumbs, hoping that he would, like, have a minor mess that could be turned into looking like a massive screw-up? It just sounds unlikely if that was an agenda against him, but maybe this was just a moment of opportunism, taking advantage of a window. And then with Brigadier Chili, it's hectic because he is saying that he is right and we can't check and maybe falsify or at least check whether or not his evidence is false because there's no evidence. It's missing. It's all missing. There's no video security camera footage. There's no cashier. There's nothing. It's just his word against the mist, really. And that helps us to believe him, but it also makes me think, but I can't really disbelieve you, can I? Because I've got nothing else to check all of this against. Like, why were you in such a weird situation with an air fryer? Now, I'm not victim blaming. I'm not saying that in a different situation, I would have acted differently. I've been in a situation where I've had a certain amount of cash, wanted to spend it, also flipped over to a debit card, paid at the same time. But then you walk to the security guard with no second slip. You don't make sure that you get a second receipt that it was actually paid for. Like, it's just odd. It's all just really weird and really odd. But we should all be fascinated and spellbound by it, because this is a level, again, of crazy that I think that only South Africa, we as a nation, all 65 million of us in our national project, can actually concoct in real life. Right, that's News Worth Knowing for today on The Issue with Dan Corder. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that you have a lovely long weekend, or at least a public holiday today, and then Friday, and then a weekend. Hopefully you get to celebrate Human Rights Day in a good and a meaningful way to you and your beloved ones. We will see you back on Monday for the latest edition of the show. Go check out our Patreon. We've got an epic new interview with elections guru Wayne Sussman on what exactly is going on, because more and more data is coming out, which is causing people to think, is Jacob Zuma's MK party really going to hammer slam the ANC in KZN and even elsewhere across the country? Is Jacob Zuma's MK party about to become one of the most significant parties in South African politics? Chat soon.